97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you're with us this morning, and it is a Tuesday morning, and it's chilly outside, right? You can enjoy that. It's beautiful. We're going camping this coming weekend.
Nice.
And I love those evenings when a good campfire is so enjoyable. It's not enjoyable in the middle of the summer.
You wake up, it's a little chilly. I mean, nothing is worse. There are things that are worse than this, but I don't like, you know, when you're sleeping and it's so hot and it's muggy and ugh.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure. Heading down to Arkansas for the first time. I've never been to Fayetteville. And we're going to go down there and check out the area this weekend.
Kentucky's rival. I didn't know they were rivals. I don't follow Kentucky.
It's not just that. It's that our former basketball coach is now the head basketball coach there. And that pig, suey pig thing they say drives me crazy. So other than that,
Razorbacks.
They say pig suey.
Pig suey, isn't that it?
Yes, pig suey.
I think it's pig suey. I think that's it for their Razorbacks. Drives me a little crazy.
What is, I know, chop suey.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I know, and they're probably pretty good fried up, too, those Arkansas Razorbacks, but I'm just saying. anyway, I digress. So happy you're with us. We're going to get to our friend Griff Jenkins. If you've been following this story about, you know, the Hurricane Helene, I almost called it Katrina. Hurricane Helene, which, of course, left a path of destruction through northern Florida into Georgia, into parts of North Carolina, right? Destroyed parts of North Carolina around Asheville there. They've still got people that have not seen or spoken to anybody from the government. And yet you've got the White House claiming they've got all they need. The president said that this week. They're getting all they need. Well, I think the governors are probably getting all they're asking for, but the stuff on the ground is not helping all of the people in need yet. And there's some horror stories coming out of that area this morning. We're going to talk about that coming up. Griff Jenkins is going to join us live at the bottom of the hour, or I guess here in the next segment, regarding what's going on there. He's in Swannanoa, North Carolina. Sarah Carter did a report from there last night on Hannity, and it was eye-opening. So we're going to get some of that sound and find out what the real story is here. The White House doesn't want to talk about it, but there are people who are not getting what they need from the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and that's not misinformation. It's the truth. We'll get to that for you here coming up in just a couple of minutes. First, though, Carl Middleman and I are going to get to our top stories. Let's do it.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Nobody's done more for the Jewish people than I have. Nobody's done more for Israel as a president, maybe beyond being a president, if you want to know the truth. I should get 100% of the vote.
Yeah, there's the president talking about what's going on in the Middle East when asked about who's done the most for Israel, who's got Israel's back, who's not over there claiming you've got to give in to the people that have supported terrorists for years and years. That's Donald Trump. But will he get 100% of the Jewish vote? Oh, heck no.
You have to separate what people are saying. They'll say, well, there's a bucket of money in FEMA that's gone to illegal aliens, and that's somehow separate than the bucket of money that should by right go to American citizens.
J.D. Vance is absolutely right. FEMA's been helping illegal aliens. Now, are there two separate accounts that FEMA uses? Probably, but why is the Emergency Management Agency giving money to non-U.S. citizens?
The administration has money to send to Lebanon without Congress coming back. But Congress does have to come back to approve money to send to people in North Carolina. Do I have that right?
How about that? That's Peter Ducey. He asking some really, really pertinent questions yesterday.
You know, I think part of why Kamala's getting so much support is that if Trump wins, that Epstein client list is going to become public.
Oh, yes. If Trump becomes president, the Epstein client list is going to become public. You see, you know why? Because Donald Trump doesn't owe anything to any of those people. And Kamala Harris is on the hook to Hollywood.
Do you think, I know he says it will be released, but do you actually think it will be?
I don't know.
I trust me, I want those names. I I don't see it happening.
I think the defense attorneys are the ones that are going to end up releasing that. The ones that are suing Diddy over all of these different cases said the names are going to come out.
Well, and now...
And he also claims that a lot of these big stars are now signing NDAs. Do not resuscitate. That's what Diddy wants. But they're signing agreements with these people and paying them huge sums of money to not discuss what happened because they don't want their name to come out.
Right. Well, they're settling out of court.
They're settling out of court because they're so worried because they know they were at those parties and they know what they saw and they don't want their reputation tarnished.
Exactly.
So listen to Elon, because he apparently knows the names of not maybe just movie stars, but some billionaires. Go to cut 10.
Will that ever come out, do you think? You know, I think part of why Kamala is getting so much support is that if Trump wins, that Epstein client list is going to become public.
Yes.
And some of those billionaires behind Kamala are terrified of that outcome.
Yeah. Do you think Reid Hoffman's uncomfortable?
Yes. And Gates.
And Gates.
Yeah.
And I only ask that because you just look at them and you're like, that's a nervous person right there. I don't know. I mean, I assume you know them. Yeah.
Yes. Reid Hoffman was my vice president of business development at PayPal.
Yeah.
24 years ago.
Does he seem nervous to you?
Yeah. I mean, he's terrified of a Trump victory.
Because of the disclosure that would follow?
I think he's certainly ideologically not aligned with Trump anyway, but I think he is concerned about the Epstein situation.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. So two different stories there, the Epstein list and the Diddy list.
Well, and some of them maybe could overlap.
Some of them could overlap. I don't know that. I've not heard Donald Trump say he would promise to release the Epstein list. Have you heard him say that?
I thought he said he did, because remember, he was going to release any information about the JFK assassination.
Well, he did say that.
There probably would be fear from people, you know, who don't want that information let out.
If you don't have any other reason to vote for Donald Trump, let me just offer up to you that RFK Jr. could be the head of the CIA or the FDA.
Please, FDA.
Both of which things would be very interesting, right? About what would be addressed and maybe what would change. Wow. Anyway, I thought that was pretty good stuff. Coming up, we're going to talk to our friend Griff Jenkins. Some of these people that are down along the border, listen to what a couple of them had to say about the help or not help they received from FEMA.
General Soldier.
What about FEMA?
FEMA and engineers and heavy equipment. What we're doing in their stead, and some finally did roll in, but we're just getting volunteers coming in with equipment and helping people. So.
Yeah, they're not getting much help down there. We'll check in live with Griff Jenkins from Swannanoa, North Carolina, coming up.
Did you get in touch with FEMA right away? Was there any government officials that you've seen over these days since Hurricane Helene devastated your home? Has anybody been here to help you? Because this is the big question. Sean just played a clip of President Biden saying that you all are getting everything you need.
What is FEMA?
Right.
I mean, it's literally, what is FEMA? So my daughter, whose house got completely wiped out, she has no flood insurance, meets with a FEMA person, applies for everything she gets, doesn't get the $750 that Kamala says that she's supposed to get, gets approved for $300 for personal items. What is that going to do? That's literally what she got. Her entire first floor is wiped out. We hauled everything off. It's gone. So what is FEMA? And being a mayor...
So they didn't even give her the full $750.
They didn't even give her $750. Denied the $750.
They gave her $300.
They gave her $300. That won't even cover what's in the refrigerator.
John, you're the...
Yeah, how about that? Wow. That was Sarah Carter reporting on the ground last night from Swannanoa, North Carolina. Listen, I hated what they did to George W. Bush around Katrina. It was a lie. If you were following it, it was all a lie that he didn't respond strongly enough because of it's a chocolate community. I mean, you knew it was a lie. They did it for political reasons. They hated George W. Bush. If they'd only known then how much closer he was to them than conservatives, maybe they would have loved him more. I don't know. I don't like people playing politics with this. But as you listen to these interviews that Sarah Carter did last night out of Swannanoa, North Carolina, you're hearing from the people involved there on the ground that they're not getting what they need from FEMA. It's pretty obvious to me. Let's get to Griff, please.
Sure. Yeah. In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Swannanoa, North Carolina. Griff, how are you?
I'm good, Mark. I'm here in Swannanoa right now as we speak, and I'm on a street, a neighborhood street, where literally every house on this street is absolutely destroyed. I'm sitting next to a house. I don't know. It's 12 feet high. I can see the yellow water line, Mark. It's 5 or 6 feet.
I think the federal government just cut off Griff Jenkins. Are you still there, buddy? You cut out on us. You know, and maybe he'll try to call us back. One thing I did hear Sarah Carter say last night is that the cell service in this particular area is very spotty. I mean, obviously, Griff's calling us on his cell phone there, but we appear to have lost him right in the middle of his initial comments. Maybe he'll give us a ring back. I know cell coverage is a big problem. He's standing there on a street where the water, remember that from the flood of 93? I mean, the water level, as we were down there covering this issue in the Chesterfield Valley and West Alton and all that, you'd be standing next to a house and the flood line was above your head somewhere. And he's seeing that there as well. Griff, do we have you back now?
Hey, yes. Who's cutting me off?
I think it's Uncle Sam, I think.
You know, it's just a reality of being out here because, and you know, what I was telling you about that water line, and there's literally standing water and mud, and then a car, a Jeep, red Jeep here, overturned literally on its side into the house next to the one I'm next to. And, you know, it's the people here have been desperate. In the stories that I've been telling, because, you know, I flew in and a Black Hawk helicopter operated by Samaritan's Purse that was flying the chief engineer from SpaceX delivering Starlinks to areas like this that have been cut off from civilization, particularly up in the mountains. You got the Pisgah National Forest here, and these communities were cut off for days. I started the first hurricane I ever covered, Mark, was Katrina.
Yes.
And as devastating as it was and saw the water in such a sort of different set of circumstances, but I've never seen storm damage like this in areas like this. You don't think of hurricanes devastating North Carolina mountains, but that's what you had. And I was, you know, it takes a lot. I've seen a lot to touch me, but we had an 83-year-old woman. I used some sound from yesterday. Walked out to me. To the vehicle we were traveling in, one of those, gator things, because you can't drive a car around where we had flown in on a helicopter because the roads are so bad and so much destruction. And she walked down and she said, "I've been here 9 days. I live by myself. My husband died 20 years ago. I had heart surgery a month ago. I have no water, no power, and there's no one here for me. No one's come." And that's the stories you're hearing. And, you know, I appreciate that after my hit on Bret Baier last night, he interviewed Deanna Criswell, the FEMA director, about, you know, their presence. And she said, "Look, just because you don't see us doesn't mean we're not there."
Yeah.
But I have talked to countless. I mean, I see the 82nd Airborne now mobilizing, you know, really strong. I got Chinooks, helicopters flying over my head. I see them on the ground here. But you don't see the Blue Jacket FEMA folks as much out here. And you know, it may be the case that they really are hitting the ground now, but in the earliest days, they were the slowest of all of them to respond. The first to respond were the private organizations, the volunteers, neighbors looking after neighbors. Then you did have the 82nd Airborne trying to get in more soldiers and resources. But I don't think history is going to look back and see FEMA's response on this as anything short of lacking.
Yeah, it sure sounds like it. Griff, great to hear from you there on the ground. I'm going to be up against a break here, but I appreciate your time, my friend. Be safe, all right?
We'll keep you posted, and maybe we'll talk with you later in the week.
Yes, we will. All right. Griff Jenkins there live in Swannanoa, North Carolina. You heard it out of his lips, right? He's talking to the people who are impacted on the ground, claiming they've gotten zero help. So if FEMA is really all over this, I mean, that's all we want. Do what you exist to do and take care of the Americans who need the help the most right now. Not illegal aliens, Americans who need the help. All right, we're going to be back in just a minute. We'll talk more about the upcoming election and the fact that the deadline to register is tomorrow.
My name is Ron Swanson, and I'm going to tell you everything you need to know about the miserable, screwed-up world of local government.
Yeah, and national government while I'm at it. Maybe state government. I'll just throw them all in there. Thank you, Ron Swanson. Not Nick Offerman, Ron Swanson. By the way, shout out to our one of our listeners, Jonathan, who just texted me a minute ago, and Jonathan told me it's not easy to find your November 2024 election guide. And I don't know, Jonathan. I don't know that I could make it a whole lot easier short of driving it to your house and delivering it to you. 971talk.com. If you go to that webpage.
It's the middle of the page.
Honestly, if you go to that webpage, and I keep saying this over and over again, 971talk.com. It's not a trick. Just go to 971talk.com, and it's the second item down. We have it pinned to the top of the page.
The hurricane stuff.
Mark
is
Cox's
first.
2024 November voting guide. It's right there.
It's the center of the page.
Right. It's right in the middle of the page.
Well, I think you should drive it
down
to his house, Mark.
Well, I'm just saying.
Stop being lazy.
I'm doing the best I can here, but it is easy to find.
And if you don't like that, you can go to the Mark Cox page, 971talk.com/Cox, and then it's the first thing.
So. Well, also, you and I have shared it on our personal, I should share it on Twitter. There's a bunch of places you can find it.
Yeah.
To sum it up.
Yeah. So anyway, it's easy to find. It's on there. I've shared it to the Facebook page. Today, hopefully, we're going to work on making it printable, I'm told. So we'll have that for you as soon as possible. But you can print it as it is, but it's just not. I want to get it loaded, and there's a PDF that you can actually download and or print off, and that'll make it a little bit easier. Just so you know, it never hurts to repeat some of this. The deadline to register to vote is tomorrow. And I don't know, I just sometimes I want to take people by the shoulders and just shake them. If you're not registered to vote, who are you? I would love to know. Leave me a message. Carl, we got any messages down there this morning?
None today.
If you're on the Odyssey app, just hit the little record button there, and you can record up to a 60-second message. I would love to talk to somebody who is not registered to vote, who either does not register to vote or doesn't actively vote.
What's worse in your mind, not registering to vote or registering to vote in intentionally not voting, because you don't like the choices? That's your excuse.
Equally bad. I just don't want to hear these people bellyache about anything, about how bad things are, or taxes, or how bad government is if you don't exercise your opportunity to participate. I just don't get that. We have tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of gun owners with everything there is in the Second Amendment at stake who are not registered to vote, who don't actively go express their opinion at the ballot box. And hell, you can do it from your house these days. Just ask for an absentee ballot. It couldn't be any easier to vote. And yet you've got people who don't take the opportunity to go and do that. So please vote. If you need help on what to vote for, and I mentioned this earlier, if you're watching us on X, if you're watching us on Rumble this morning, thank you, first of all. But I was at my mom's house the other day, and she got her sample ballot from the St. Louis County Board of Elections. Look at this. 40 three issues on this St. Louis County ballot. Now, that's not representative of St. Charles County or Jefferson County or Lincoln County or anywhere else, but there are a lot of issues on here. Maybe it's less on yours. It's still a lot. There are six, count them, statewide amendments. And you need to know how you're going to vote on that. Well, one's a proposition, but still, five statewide amendments and then a proposition. You can't walk into the booth and figure out, based on the tiny little language that they printed on this thing, how you're going to vote on all these different constitutional amendments. It just doesn't tell you all that you need to know. That's what I've done in the voter guide. So go on there and take a look at it at the very least, whether you print it off or not, and read my explanations for all these things. Amendment 2, online sports wagering. I'm a no, not because I have any problem with adults wagering online, but you know what? I do have a problem if you lie to me. And the campaign to pass this is lying to you, and it's lying to me. They've got some. She may actually be a mother in Missouri. I don't know. The blonde, attractive woman sitting on the couch. Mm-hmm. I'm a mother, and I want my schools to have more money. So I'm voting yes on Amendment 2 for online sports wagering, because all of the money they gather is going to go to schools. That is not true. That is not true. Here's the deal. They get to deduct everything before they ever have to declare a profit. And only after they've declared a profit do the schools get a dime. If you read this closely, it will tell you school contributions could be $0. They get to deduct $5 million that has to be set aside to gambling addiction. They get to deduct up to 25% of the gross costs of promotional credits and free play, which they give to everybody when they start to gamble online. If you, join today, you get $100 in free play. Well, they get to deduct that from what's considered to be a profit for the company. Investment costs, registration fees, government registration fees and taxes, gaming losses. They get to deduct all of that before they ever declare a profit. So it's a lie to say you're going to vote for this and schools are going to automatically get money. There's no guarantee they will immediately get any money. Maybe down the road, but there's no guarantee of it. That's why I'm a no on that. And of course, I'm a no on Amendment 3, abortion on demand. No, for a lot of reasons. For the reason that it takes away parental rights, which we've talked about, your child could go get on, puberty blockers,
right,
without you being informed as a parent. All of that's in here in what's supposed to be an abortion amendment to make abortion legal up until birth. I got into it with actually a former employee of this radio group the other day on Facebook, because they're just all in on this. You're not telling the truth. You need to let women make their own decisions.
What truth are you not telling?
Well, I shared with him the truth, which is subsection 4 says, under no circumstances shall the government deny, interfere with, delay, or otherwise restrict an abortion at any time the health care provider decides it's necessary for the mental health or the physical health of the pregnant person. So a health provider decides she's a little nutso in the ninth month, they can abort the child. This is what the language says. And the legislators aren't allowed to change it once it becomes an amendment to the Constitution. And the guy wanted to argue with me over it. And I'm like, you can't see the truth because of your love of abortion. I don't love abortion. I don't love abortion, Mark. I protect women's rights.
What
about the baby's rights?
I was going to say, it's not your body. I'm so tired of that. And let me just remind everybody, the person who founded Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, she had ties to the KKK, and she was a proud supporter of population control.
Eugenics,
she wanted to
yes.
get rid of black people, and I am not making that up. Go
it's
look
truth.
It up.
It's truth.
So get out of here with, oh, they're just women's health, and they offer this and screenings. They offer that just to be able to say that they offer women's health. Really, they're I stand by this. They are there to provide abortions because that is their moneymaker, which is why when this whole thing was going down legally in Missouri before it was banned, the one that was in the Central West End stopped because they can't operate if they don't do abortions, despite the lies they want to tell you. They can't.
Yeah. There's a lot to get here to here. I'm a no on Amendment 3, by the way. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to run down the rest of these, and I'll tell you what I found out when I looked into them, because you're going to have to make a big decision a month from today. And if you're not registered, for goodness sake, you can register online. It's that easy. Go to the Missouri Secretary of State's website, sos.mo.gov. That's one quick way to do it. Or go to your local election authority and get registered. We'll be right back.
Don't screw around with me.
No, don't screw around with me. Listen, we got to get to the rest of the voter guide here because people are apparently having trouble finding it. It's right there at 971talk.com, honestly. All right, let's move down the list here. We just talked about Amendment 3, which is abortion on demand. Obviously, I'm a no on that. Amendment 5, it's interesting. We talked to John Lamping about this earlier. You can go hear his thoughts if you want to hit rewind on the Odyssey app there at about 6:35 this morning. This is the casino at the Lake of the Ozarks. You may be thinking, oh, that'd be a lot of fun. Have you been to the Lake of the Ozarks on the weekend in season? It's a madhouse. I can't imagine what this would do to traffic and other things down around the Bagnell Dam. That's where they want to put this thing. Anyway, I hear from people who have relatives down there, the people who live at the lake don't want the casino. The casino industry wants the casino because they've dumped, like Bally's dumped another $1 million into the campaign. And once again, they're lying about the fact that it's going to help education. Very little evidence of that, right? There's a cap on how much they would have to pay. All it says, it would go to early childhood literacy programs in public institutions. But it doesn't say how much or what those are. I'm suspicious of this one. I just have to tell you. It didn't get enough signatures, according to Jay Ashcroft, but a Cole County judge came in and overrode Ashcroft and placed it on the ballot anyway. It's like something out of the show Ozark. Where are Marty and Wendy Bird? You know they're here somewhere. So I'm a no on that. I don't think we should be forcing that down the throats of the people at the Lake of the Ozarks. Amendment 6, the court fees for certain law enforcement officers. There's a piece on Channel 4 yesterday talking about how, oh, these poor sheriffs, this is their retirement fund. Well, if this is the Supreme Court ruled this is not the proper way to fund a retirement fund. And now they've come back and tried to put it on the ballot and make it an amendment that you have to pay $3 in court fees or $6 in court fees or something like that to pay for the retirement fund for sheriffs and prosecutors who aren't on the same retirement plan as most law enforcement officers in the state. The state of Missouri needs to figure out how to pay for that. That's what we paid the legislature for, not to tack fees on to court costs to try to not have to pay for the retirement fund for these officers. So I'm a no on that. I think that the state needs to figure out a better way to do that. And then Amendment 7 is the citizens-only voting. Of course we need this. The story in the paper today is this Leuna, union has been putting mailers out to people who are here working non-citizens. Let's put it that way. They're not illegal. Urging them to vote for Kamala Harris. But technically, they can't vote. So why are they sending this to them? This is why you need it to be law that citizens only can vote. And you say, but that's already the law. Well, no, it's not. Because in a number of states around the country, big cities have decided to allow non-citizens to vote in municipal elections. Well, if they can walk in and vote in a municipal election, they can walk in and vote in any election. So we need this. This is a yes. Amendment 7 is the only amendment on there that I'm a yes on. And it would also ban ranked choice voting. And then there's Proposition A. We talked about this earlier with John Lamping as well. That's the minimum wage one. It would raise the state's minimum wage to $15 an hour, no matter how low your skill set is. It's a false wage floor. It's going to cost you $15 or $20 to get a Big Mac. This is silly. Why would we do this? It's not supposed to be a lifetime career at McDonald's or wherever you're getting minimum wage. Besides that, it would also add every year. It would go up every year based on the cost of living. So I'm a no on Prop A as well. That's, again, not the way to handle that. That you're going to pay for that for years and years and years every time you go out to a fast food restaurant or any restaurant, for that matter. So the voter's guide is up, 971talk.com. If you haven't registered to vote, the deadline is tomorrow. I strongly encourage you to go do that. And vote early if you need to. All of my picks are on the voter guide, and I really hope people will get out there and find it. 971talk.com. I couldn't make it any easier unless I drove it over and dropped it off myself, which Kim has suggested. What do you think?
I think you should. I think you're being lazy.
Sorry. I got to go home and take a nap now. Hey, all right. That does it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. Annie and Mark in this afternoon. We'll all see you back here tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning at 5 a.m. Have a great day.
Get more at 971talk.com.